James chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves, and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Glory to God. In fact, that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Which coincides to Psalms chapter 18, verse 25. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. Talking about God. Because the word you is capitalized. With the merciful, you, O Lord, will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. Hallelujah. That's how the Lord is. And he's calling us and telling us, if he's merciful and he's shown you mercy, because we don't deserve to be saved or to be justified by our past sins. Therefore, if we don't deserve, and yet we receive pardon from our past sins, for the Lord to wipe the slate clean so we can have a relationship with him. Because that's how he declares us righteous, through the blood of Jesus Christ for those who believe. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then we are to show mercy that God has shown us. You know, Jesus had spoken many parables about the merciful servant, or the unmerciful servant, to illustrate this point. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21, says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you, up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, which means perfect, perfectly forgive, always. Amen. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Not only that, be merciful. Because that demonstrates the love of God and mercy. See, God didn't have to pardon us any of our debts of sin, but he did in order to justify us, in order to be saved. Glory to God. And then he empowered us by his Holy Spirit to go and sin no more. Hallelujah. What mercy. What love that God has shown us. Shouldn't we now show that to others for whatever reason? Now, there are consequences for when we do wrong to others, and others do wrong to us, for sure. But let the Lord repay that, because what did God Almighty say? Vengeance is mine, I will repay it, thus says the Lord. And that's what James is telling us here. Do not use your salvation to show partiality to certain individuals, like, okay, you're the rich man, I want to have favor with you, so sit in the best seat. You poor man, you sit over here. I received an email not too long ago about a church who was actually guilty of this very sin of partiality. So here's what it says. Pastor Jeremiah Stepek transformed himself into a homeless person and went to the 10,000-member church that he was to be introduced as the head pastor at that morning. He walked around his soon-to-be church for 30 minutes while it was filling with people for service. Only 3 people out of the 7 to 10,000 people said hello to him. He asked people for change to buy food. No one in the church gave him change. He went into the sanctuary to sit down in the front of the church and was asked by the ushers if he would please sit in the back. He greeted people to be greeted back with stares and dirty looks, with people looking down on him and judging him. As he sat in the back of the church, he listened to the church announcements and such. And when all that was done, the elders went up and were excited to introduce the new pastors of the church to the congregation. We would like to introduce to you Pastor Jeremiah Stepek. The congregation looked around and clapping with joy and anticipation. The homeless man sitting in the back stood up and started walking down the aisle. The clapping stopped with all eyes on him. He walked up the altar and took the microphone from the elders who were in on this and paused for a moment. Then he recited, Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and he gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and he gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and he looked after me. I was in prison, and he came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. After he recited this, he looked towards the congregation and told them all what he had expected that morning. Many began to cry, and many heads were bowed in shame. He then said, "Today, I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. When will you decide to become disciples?" He then dismissed the service until next week. Being a Christian is more than something you claim. It's something you live by and share with others. It's a lifestyle. And that's the point of this ministry of hope for a hopeless generation in this chapter of the day and hour which the Lord God has called me to do, to make disciples. Glory to God. And that's why we're studying the book of James. Hallelujah. You see, James is telling us, we have no right to treat anyone, the rich and the poor, with partiality. We have no right. Because the Lord has forgiven us and shown us mercy, shouldn't we show the love and compassion and mercy without partiality, without hypocrisy, in our walk with Jesus Christ? Because that's not being a true representative of the Lord, right? For showing the love and the mercy and the compassion and helping each other. That's the real representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Being patient with everyone, right? Amen. That's what he's saying here. Again, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, "You sit here in the good place," and say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit at my footstool." Have you not shown partiality among yourselves? Become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not shown the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heir of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? And we should show the same as what God has shown us in our life. Or do we think we deserve all that God has given us? Or do we think we deserve salvation? And he continues to tell us, "But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called, but yet you treat him better than a poor man? Yet a poor man will repent and turn from his sins." If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you have become the transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now he's getting to the point here. Now remember what was said yesterday in James chapter 1. That when justification and sanctification get together, they will conceive and give birth to the doctrine of active faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Remember that? Because now we're getting to the point here of his beginning arguments here. Of we should live like the Lord Jesus Christ has walked on this earth. To live like Jesus had walked on this earth. Spotless, pure, and blameless with undefiled religion, according to James. That was his language, religion. Undefiled relationship with God. If you know God, therefore you would live like him. As he has walked on this earth, and even John had made up these arguments also. But remember that when the doctrine of justification gets together with the doctrine of sanctification, because they're in a marriage covenant, for they will conceive and give birth to the doctrine of active faith. And here it is in verse 14, says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him?" No. And here's the reason why, the big no. Because he himself says no in the argument. Now again, the question is, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Certainly not, is what the Apostle Paul would say. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, oh glory to God, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? It doesn't profit anyone nothing. Because if you see that they are in need of something, you can see it. Whether it be clothes or food. Even if they ask you, can you spare some change? I'm hungry. Instead of giving them spare change, why don't you take them out to dinner? Why don't you take them out to lunch? Or why don't you take them to a grocery store and buy them food? Glory to God. If you don't feel comfortable in giving them money, go out of your way and take them somewhere to give them something to eat of their choice. Amen. Or take them to a grocery store and say, I'm going to buy you a bag of groceries. What do you need? Just tell me, and we'll buy it. Amen. Glory to God. That's how we're supposed to act and to live. Glory to God. But if you tell them, oh, well, God bless you, brother. What does it profit them? Nothing. Nothing. Faith without works profits no one nothing. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works, by what I do. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Why? Demons know that God exists. Demons know that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. Hallelujah. That he is our justifier. He is our Redeemer. They know that and they tremble. They know that the Holy Spirit has power over every demonic force. They know that and they tremble. In fact, demons are smarter than most people on earth. Demons are smarter than many people on this earth that do not believe that God exists. Although they've seen God, that's why they know and they tremble. That's why they try to keep the truth from you, from all humanity, about God. Because they know. And if all humanity got at least a glimpse of who God is, they would believe. That's why their power is in illusion and deception. I'm talking about demons. The power of demons, their power lies behind illusion and deception. But faith without works is dead. It says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? If you have justification, but you're not walking in sanctification, your faith is dead. If you see people in need or needs help and you don't help them but say, God bless you, your faith is dead. Because the doctrine of justification with the doctrine of sanctification gives birth to the doctrine of active faith. And if your faith is dead, if you say that you believe that Jesus is but don't live holy and righteously, if you say that Jesus is and don't preach the gospel, or teach the word of God as he has called you to do, and therefore you really don't believe. Therefore you really don't have any faith to even be saved, because it takes faith to be saved. But if you believe that God is, and you know that he is, guess what? You'll take every opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ. You would go out of your way to help somebody. In fact, you'd be looking for it all the time. You'd be living for those moments. And if all Christians would really hunker down and get this doctrine now and start looking for people that they can help and bless and whatever, this nation would be different. Because this nation alone claims that there's a few million Christians out of 350 million people in the United States alone. This nation would be a different place. It would bring people back to their senses by the love of Jesus Christ. To be seen seen of men your good works, so they may praise your heavenly Father. Isn't that what Jesus had taught in Matthew chapter 5? Let's read it again. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. You, Jesus is saying. You, my disciples, Jesus is saying. You who claim to believe that I am, Jesus is saying. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. The children of God are the light of the world. A city that is set on a high hill, on a hill, cannot be hidden. If you're looking at a mountain in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden a light shines, wouldn't all see it who are actually looking or outside at the time? Wouldn't all see it? Absolutely, and they would wonder about it, wouldn't they? It's like, man, there's a bright light right there. What does that mean? What does that mean? That's what we're supposed to be, a light of the world. And when we do good works unto others, then people are going to go, what does this mean? And if you turn around and tell them that I did this in the name of Jesus Christ, maybe they will praise your Heavenly Father. If they saw your good works done in Jesus' name, maybe they would believe. Well, there must be something about this Jesus because, you know what? I've seen such a mighty thing happening. Now, there are many people in the world that are doing good works. But in vain, they think their good works will get them into heaven. But God Almighty says no! Because it tells us right here as we go on further. James chapter 2. We're going to jump ahead for just a moment to prove this point. We'll go back to where we left off. Then verse 24 says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You're justified by works and by faith. Why? Because your faith is active with works. See, faith produces works. If you believe that God is, it produces in you to do the work of God on this earth. See, this is a continuation of what we're dealing with yesterday. Faith produces self-control. Faith produces endurance against all opposition and temptations. Faith causes us to do good to one another, to love one another. Amen? Glory to God. That's what it's saying here. Amen. So back to verse 20, it says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So it goes back to the first point. In verse 14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? No. Because that's what it says here. That faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Wait a minute here. What is he talking about here? He's talking about that Abraham heard God speak to him to offer his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. This is found in Genesis chapter 22. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Abraham heard God speak to him saying, go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice your son for my name. Build an altar there. Go. And guess what? He believed God. Therefore, he went and built an altar on top of Mount Moriah. And then he placed his son on the altar. And when he was about to kill him by his own hand, therefore an angel of the Lord appeared to him and stopped the whole procession to going any further, and was blessed from that point on. He became the father of many nations. We are the seed of Abraham for those who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Glory to God. And what he promised all along. Glory to God. That's what is known as the Abrahamic covenant. Amen. Even Jesus had mentioned that in a parable of Lazarus and the rich man, that we'll even see Abraham. Glory to God. In fact, we might even see him first, ushering us into the kingdom of heaven, because he is the father of many nations according to God.
and his covenant that he made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And that covenant still stands today, glory to God. Again, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? That's what's supposed to be in our lives. We're not to lack faith, and we're not to lack work. But together can do so much good. We'll preach this gospel and get people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, because you believe God. And you go out and do and to preach this like Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All because you believed. And because you believed, you had faith. And you started to do. You walked out in faith. If you just start and walk out in faith, God will supply the rest. God will supply the rest. He will supply the power to heal hands on the sick, and they will recover. They make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, to raise the dead. Hallelujah. To cast out demons. He'll supply that power if we just walk out in the name of Jesus Christ to set the captives free. Glory to God. That should be our motive. Hallelujah. That's the same kind of faith with works. But if you don't have one, you will not have the other. Faith and works go hand in hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what the Holy Spirit's teaching us here through James. And if you don't have works, but claim to have faith, your faith is dead. And if your faith is dead, you really have no salvation at all. It's telling us also that we can't stay in justification believing, oh, God has forgiven our sins, God has forgiven our sins, God has forgiven our sins, and never go forth in the doctrine of sanctification to learn how to walk and to live like Jesus has walked and lived on this earth when he was here in the flesh, teaching us how to live and to walk. And if you don't know how he walked, then you need to reread and reread and reread again and read some more of the gospel of Jesus Christ through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hallelujah. And to reread all the New Testament again and again and again until you get it. Because this is what the Holy Spirit is challenging us through James in this doctrine here of active faith. Glory to God. Active faith is what will save you. Because not only do you believe and believe that Jesus is. That's the doctrine of justification according to Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5. But most people stop there and think, okay, hallelujah. I'll just stand on this. I can do whatever I want as long as I believe that Jesus is. No! But you can't stay in justification. You have to move forward. Just like Jesus has taught us of progressive faith. The size of a mustard seed is all he wants. But that mustard seed turns into a big giant tree eventually. That's how our faith is supposed to be. That's how our walk with Jesus Christ. That's how our relationship with Jesus Christ is supposed to be like. We can't stay in kindergarten Christianity. We have to move on. We have to mature and grow just like the Apostle Paul had ministered through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to go into maturity. What was that in Hebrews? We need to go on to maturity. That's found in the book of Hebrews. Explains it right here, hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 12, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, maturity. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits.
if God empowers us. But in order for God to use us like that, we got to step out in faith and believe God at his word. Glory to God. We need to go on to maturity, and that's the point. Hallelujah. And in fact, faith and works is the elementary principles of our salvation. It's just the elementary principles of our salvation. We need to go on to maturity. We need to stop staying at justification and believing that if we only believe Jesus Christ, therefore we can do whatever we want. No, go on to maturity. Go on to perfection. Go on to holiness. Go on to the call of sanctification. Because that's where God's calling us to. Because without sanctification, God cannot use you. Hallelujah. And that is where we are perfected and tried. And that's where God takes and refines us in the call of sanctification. Don't you get it? In order to be real true disciples of Jesus Christ, real true ambassadors of Jesus Christ, you need to go on to the doctrine of sanctification and repentance until there's nothing to repent on in your life. To go and sin no more, as Jesus had told the adulterous woman whom he justified freely right there on the spot before he died on the cross, according to John chapter 8. Hallelujah. Go and sin no more, he told her. I justified you. Go and sin no more. And these are the basic principles that the Holy Spirit is teaching us about faith and works. Glory to God. So again, in verse 21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? See, they have a synonymous relationship with each other. Faith and works. Faith produces works. Works produces perfect faith. Amen. Glory to God. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Wouldn't you be loved to be called friend of God? Not only to hear what he commands us to do, but to do it. According to James chapter 1. Hallelujah. We go back to that basic principle. Not only be hearers of God's word, but doers of the work also. And whatever you do will be blessed. Amen? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. See, most people mess that up. An Episcopal church will still tell you that you can be justified by faith only. And they're going by Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5. And they're right. But they stop there. They don't go on to the doctrine of sanctification. But James does. Because the product, again, the offspring of the doctrine of justification and the doctrine of sanctification conceives and gives birth to the offspring of active faith, as seen here. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. The two go hand in hand. Faith and works are synonymous to each other, glory to God. And in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, if anyone's taking notes, is dealing with the doctrine of sanctification. Don't you see that? How the two go hand in hand. They're right next to each other. The doctrine of justification is in Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5. The doctrine of sanctification is 6, 7, and 8. You couldn't get any clearer than that. And that's what he's saying here. Because the doctrine of justification deals with faith. You're justified by faith, not by works, right? But when you go on to sanctification, sanctification is resting on works because you believe that God is holy. Therefore, you need to be holy. So how are you going to get holy? By doing what the Word of God says to do. Without any hypocrisy. And repent of any sin that you've committed. There'll be no sin in your life. Hallelujah. Because John tells us that a child of God does not sin. In 1 John chapter 3. You might want to read that. In verses 1 through 6. Hallelujah. See how all this comes together. Glory to God. So you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, and that is absolute. And that's how he ends this teaching right here.
For as the body without the spirit is dead, and which is absolute, every human body has a soul. And that's what makes up you. This flesh doesn't make up you. The soul, the heart of man, the spirit of man is what makes you, you. The flesh is just a suit of the soul, of the heart, of the spirit, which is all the same. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And that's a fact. And that's a fact. So faith without works is dead also. Because why? Faith is the spirit, the soul, the heart of works.